Thank you. Welcome to Brentwood Lighthouse Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us on this Resurrection Sunday. Christ is risen indeed. Thank you. And if you're joining us virtually, we want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us online. We welcome you all in Christ's love. And we thank you for taking time to be with us today. May God bless each one of us to have a deeper understanding of who He really is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much. May our expressions of love and thanksgiving and honor and praise, may they bring you glory today, Father. Lord Jesus, may you be glorified above all else on the earth, especially today, Lord, on the day that you conquered death, that you rose from the grave, that you gave us, Lord, witness to the greatest victory ever. And Father, we thank you and we praise you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would come and be with us in this place today. Fill this place with your Spirit, Father. Fill every heart. Open up every mind. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord. Greater and deeper love for you. And God, thank you so much for sending your Son to die on that cross, to be buried in a tomb, and to be raised up to life on the third day, proving to us, Father, that He indeed is risen and has absolute control and power over death. We shall be raised with Him. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, church. Thank you so much. Hello again, and you are all welcome here in Christ's love. Today we will read the account of Christ's resurrection in the Gospel of John. Here at Brentwood Lighthouse, we like to let the Bible speak. I like to let the Bible speak to our hearts, especially on times like Palm Sunday and on Resurrection Sunday. It's a time for us to learn about Jesus. It's a very special time for us to gain knowledge about our Lord. And I like to call it saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He is the focus. He is the premier example. And He is our Savior. So we're going to start today by reading the account of the resurrection of Christ in John chapter 20. We're going to read through the entire chapter together. We're going to let the Word of God soak into our hearts. And I pray that you'll just open your minds and your hearts now and enjoy this Word as much as I've enjoyed it this week. Let's read about the resurrection of our King. John chapter 20, starting in verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stopping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb. And he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the face cloth which had been on his head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb, weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Hallelujah. Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Christ appears to the disciples with Thomas absent, starting in verse 19. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood there in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Christ appears to the disciples with Thomas present, starting in verse 26. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. And reach here your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." Hallelujah. Amen. 30 and 31. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Hallelujah, church. Thank you. Thank you, church. So you can see the account. Very, very special account where Thomas wasn't present the first time, and Thomas, a doubting Thomas, didn't believe. Very impressionable upon us today. And if you're watching virtually, let the Word of God speak to your heart. Let the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ speak to you. These things are written so that you may believe. And in believing, you have eternal life. The Bible says eternal life is knowing God. And it is the reading of the Word of God that enables your ears to hear and your eyes to see, and for you to truly know Him. Jesus came for Thomas because Thomas was struggling. And Jesus will come for you if you're struggling. Perhaps today you're struggling with belief. Perhaps today you're struggling with life. Perhaps today there are issues. There have been problems in your system of belief. And like Thomas, today, Jesus wants you to see Him. He wants you to acknowledge Him. He wants you to know Him. And He wants you to accept Him as Savior and Lord over your life. Nothing can remove the stone from your life other than the resurrected Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He is the one. The stone in your life, the stumbling block, whatever may be blocking you from hearing God, from loving God, from knowing God, from receiving Jesus Christ, nothing can remove that stone except the word that you just heard. The power of the living, risen God. The only one who has power over life and death. Today, knowing that there are many in our church and many out there listening that need to hear more about the love of God, the account of Jesus Christ. When are you going to hear the actual account of Jesus? When are you going to hear the details of His life again? About the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Perhaps this is the first opportunity you may have. And I know firsthand that there are those in our congregation and some watching online who don't know the Bible so well. You heard today there are some new believers. There are faithful people in our church that are coming to the Lord Jesus. Miracles are happening. Chains are being broken. Amen. That would be by the power of the risen Christ. Praise be to God. So today we're going to go on what I call a biblical stroll down memory lane. And I pray that it'll touch you deep in your heart. We imagine the stress and the strain on the Friday when Jesus was put on the cross, the dismay. I can tell you there was a time when my life was filled with dismay. And I was hurting badly. The apostles and the disciples and the ones who loved Jesus were hurting desperately on Friday as Jesus hung from the cross and darkness fell over the earth. Doubt was everywhere. Let's read this account. It is a biblical timeline of what happened to Jesus. I pray you open your heart and your mind to hear the truth and let the word soak in. The greatest victory ever, the most important series of events in the history of the world, was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. By means of his death, Jesus fulfilled prophecy and bought man's freedom from slavery to sin. By means of his burial, Jesus removed any doubt that he had actually and truthfully died. By means of his resurrection, hallelujah, Jesus proved he has actual power and authority over death. This assures us, thank you, church, hallelujah, amen. This assures us that if we truly trust and obey Jesus, he will one day raise us from the dead also. In fact, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest proof that he is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's take a look at Matthew 16, 16 through 18. Begin our scriptural journey. Matthew 16, 16 through 18. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Amen, church? Come on, church. The gates of hell will not overpower you in Christ, will not take you, and will not rob you of your life. You will not be slain by the gates of hell. You will live. Amen? Hallelujah. He is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's read Romans 1, 3 through 5. Romans 1, 3 through 5. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David, according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Thank you, God. Jesus died and was resurrected to bring us to obedience to the gospel, which is by faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. Let the Bible speak to you today, the truth of the word. It was brought about for us, the Gentiles, all the people in the world who were godless at the time that Christ died on the cross, at the time of his resurrection. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord are the very foundation of the gospel by which we are saved. You see, this is the foundation of the very saving of humankind, for Jews and Gentiles alike. One death, one resurrection, one forgiveness, one gospel. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the gospel. "Now, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. What number of importance is that? First, thank you. Of first importance. You see, the gospel was given to us as a matter of first importance, Paul says. It is the most important thing in our lives. It is foundational. It is fundamental. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Luke tells us that when Pilate was unable to silence the crowd's cry that Jesus be crucified, that he gave sentence that what they asked for should be done. Luke 23:24. Luke 23:24, and Pilate pronounced sentence that their demand be granted. Jesus was led out of the city to be crucified. Something interesting here, church. Let's take a look at Hebrews 13:12. Clarify in Hebrews 13:12, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. See, there's a reason why they took Jesus outside the gate to die. Animal sacrifices were burned outside the camp. After they were sacrificed in the temple, they were taken outside, basically to the burn pile, to the trash heap. Jesus was also crucified outside the camp, taken outside the gates of Jerusalem and hung to die. Figuratively, we too, you too, I as well, we are to leave the camp of this world and we are to join Jesus outside of the world and joining with him away from the world's unholy systems. For the Jews, this depicted something else. Jesus being taken outside the camp depicts a departure from the Levitical system for the Jewish people. You see, it's one death, one burial, one resurrection for all. Their priest is not a Levite. The priest of all mankind is Jesus Christ. Amen. He is of the tribe of Judah. Amen. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. He is risen. Jesus needed help to bear the heavy cross. Simon, a Cyrenian, was forced to help him. A great crowd followed Jesus to the place where he was crucified. Among them were the Jewish leaders who had demanded his death. Luke mentions the women who followed Jesus. They were the last to leave the cross and the first to come to his grave on the morning of his resurrection. Praise the Lord for the devoted women of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Such devotion. And for the Bible to mention you expressly as the devoted women of God who were the first and the last, who loved him beyond their selves. And a message for men. Men, we must stand for Christ. We must stand for him firmly as leaders, leading our families, our loved ones, leading the devoted women of Christ, leading people to life. It's a call to men to stand for Christ like never before. Jesus was taken to a hill called Golgotha, the place of the skull. Here the Son of God was nailed to a cross. On either side of him were crucified thieves. This fulfilled the prophecy Isaiah had made 700 years before. And he was numbered with the transgressors. Isaiah 53:12. Let's take a look. Isaiah 53:12, we have prophecy fulfilled. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. 700 years prior, God is telling us clearly that he himself bore the sins of many. The prophecy is fulfilled. Not content with having brought about his crucifixion, the leaders of the Jews mocked Jesus. The Roman soldiers as well mocked him, as did the thieves who were crucified with him. However, one of them repented. He knew Jesus was innocent. He asked the Lord to remember him when he came in his kingdom. Jesus replied, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Luke 23:42 and 43. Luke 23, starting in 42. And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Amen. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. Can you stop and have eyes for Jesus if you're watching today virtually? Do you see the difference in repentance? In recognizing Jesus, his innocence, his sacrifice. Remember, nothing can remove the stone except the risen, resurrected Jesus Christ. Darkness came over all the land for 3 hours. I just love this. Stroll down memory lane. Darkness came over all the land for 3 hours when Jesus died. An earthquake occurred. The great veil in the temple, which separated the holy place from the most holy place, was torn in two. Get this, church. Saints who were dead arose from their graves and walked about the city. This is a point that can be very shocking. This is a truth that many Christians don't know. I remember the first time that I learned this, and I was like, what? At the time of Jesus' death, saints who were dead arose from their graves and walked about the city. So I said to myself, where does the Bible say that? And I'm glad you asked. Let's look at Matthew 27:51-53. Matthew 27, starting in 51. "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many." Hallelujah, church. You see, what I learned is this verse comes immediately after the veil being torn. You all know what the veil is. It's the very next verse, 51. The veil was torn. That is the veil that only the high priest could enter. Only the high priest in the Jewish nation was able to go behind the veil. It is massive. I looked at some pictures of it. It is tall. It is 9 inches thick. It is impossible to tear that. It is immense, that veil. Only the high priest of the Israelite nation was able to go behind there once a year and not die. And that veil being torn by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection has torn the way for you to access the throne of God at any time. Amen. Hallelujah, church. You want to know why they call us a priest, a priesthood? Because you are now the high priest. You are the priest. Jesus is our high priest. If your life is in Jesus Christ, we are a royal priesthood. You know, some doubt that. You hear people doubt the truth of the Bible. You are a royal priesthood, and this is why. Because only the priest, the high priest in Israel, could go behind that veil. And when Jesus split that veil and wrecked that temple, you now are allowed to go behind that veil without punishment, without fear, without death. You are a priest of God, allowed to enter the presence of God at any time you please. Amen? Amen. The power of the resurrected King. Remember, you are a priest. Jesus is our high priest. It is His high priesthood that allows us to access the throne of God, because He took that veil that was blocking and He tore it in half. Amen? Symbolizing for you that you are welcome. You are welcome in Christ's kingdom. You are welcome into His arms, into His life. You are welcome into His love. You are welcome to understand how deeply that He loved you to render this sacrifice, and how deeply He's calling you to love Him. You are one with God. You are made whole with God because of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And those people that got up and walked, it's just Jesus showing you, in case you wondered, that little known fact. Coming right after the veil being torn and the tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints had fallen asleep, it was Jesus showing you that you too shall rise up. You too shall rise from your sleep in Jesus Christ, and you shall walk again with your resurrected body. Amen? Amen. Come on, church. The knowledge is plentiful. Joseph, a wealthy man from Arimathea, asked permission from Pilate to bury the body of Jesus in his own new tomb, where no body had ever lain before. This fulfilled another prophecy of Isaiah. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death. Let's see Isaiah 53:9. Again, Isaiah 53 verse 9. 700 years prior, his grave was assigned with wicked men. Yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God. Jesus was buried on Friday before the Jewish Sabbath began at sunset. So Sabbath begins at sunset Friday. And Jesus was buried on Friday. You remember, they wanted to make sure that he was dead early enough that he wasn't writhing on the cross when their beloved Sabbath celebration started. He had to be dead first. Take a look at Luke 23:53 and 54. Luke 23:53 and 54. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever lain. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Jesus was put away in death, so that he wouldn't interrupt the religious ceremony. His body remained in the grave throughout Saturday. On Sunday morning, the first day of the week, Jesus arose from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The resurrected King on the first day. On Sunday morning, the first day of the week. You remember the Bible said on Sunday evening when we read the account from John, it was the first day of the week in John chapter 20. It was the first day of the week, Sunday evening, when Mary and the women went to the tomb and saw Jesus. Amen. They saw the risen King on Sunday evening. On Sunday morning, the first day of the week, he arose from the dead. This fulfilled Jesus' own prophecies that he would be in the grave for 3 days. Take a look at Matthew 12:40. Matthew 12:40. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus' own words. This fulfilled Jesus' own spoken prophecy, also recorded in Matthew 16:21 and John 2:19. When the faithful women came with spices to anoint the body of Jesus, they found the tomb empty. Angels announced to them the wonderful news that Jesus had arisen from the dead. Angels appear and tell the blessed women of Christ that Jesus is alive. He's been resurrected from the dead. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the trauma that they were suffering? Literally the mourning, the sorrow, and the pain as they're running with the spices to go and to anoint his body, to give him a proper burial, which he was not given on Friday night because he was dumped in the tomb not to interrupt the Sabbath beginning at sunset. They were going there to wrap him properly, to anoint him, to care for the Lord. Blessed be the beloved women of God. I don't know about everyone, but I love the women of God. I am so moved by them. And I'm encouraging men to stand for Christ, to show this kind of devotion, to have this kind of deep love for the Lord that the women express. There's nothing wrong with it. We are not ashamed of the gospel. Amen? Amen. Angels announced to them the wonderful news that Christ had arisen from the dead. They took the good news to the apostles. And now we see where the women ran to the apostles to tell us. Thank you, women, for being encouraging to us men, telling us what we need to know sometimes. Take a look at Luke 24:10. Luke 24:10 says, "Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James, also the other women with them. They were telling these things to the apostles." Thank you, church. Thank you, God. It takes a whole village, men and women together. And how blessed they must have been that Sunday to have the women come running to them and saying, "Guess what? Guess what happened? Jesus is alive. The resurrected King is alive. The news is breaking." So what does Peter do? Peter runs to the tomb and he saw for himself that the Lord had indeed risen from the dead. Will you run today and see that the Lord is risen? If you don't know him, if you've been struggling, you can hear the news that Jesus is alive, that he is risen from the dead, that that he is commanding us to see him, to love him, to revere him, and to honor him. Friends, it is the greatest victory ever, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news because it provides forgiveness of sins, restores fellowship with God, gives us hope in death, and the promise of eternal life. In closing today, I pray that God would open your eyes and your ears. If you're here today, if you're listening, if you're watching virtually, forgiveness of sins restores fellowship with God, gives hope in death, and the promise of eternal life. No wonder why we are so blessed. No wonder why the resurrection is the greatest event ever. In order for one to receive these blessings, he must die to sin and arise to walk in newness of life. This is done when one obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you may not hear it in those terms very often, obedience to the gospel. You've just heard the account of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Obedience to the gospel is your faith and belief, your heart, mind, body, and soul, given to him. This is done when one obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take a look at Romans 6, 3 through 5. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. You see, the gospel is so much more than just a common acknowledgement or a passing I do. The gospel is the power of God for the newness of life. And in that scripture, I challenge you to read that scripture for yourself. Is the book of Romans an important book in the Christian life? You know that it is. You know that Romans is one of the most important books that was ever written. It is valuable and filled with truth. And yet the book of Romans says, we are buried with him through baptism into his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Translated, we must die to sin. As I said earlier, nothing will remove the stone. Nothing will remove sin from your life. Nothing will remove what is hindering you from eternal life and salvation that is offered by the resurrected King, except your faith in his very death, burial, and resurrection himself. In closing, I would ask you, dear friend, if you're watching today, if you're here, have you responded to the gospel? Have you been obedient to the good news? If you have not, then you are still lost in your sins. Only the risen Christ, only the resurrection power of God through Jesus Christ can remove the stone of sin. I would ask you today, why not choose Christ? Why not obey the gospel today with your faith, hope, and love so that you too can join us and having everlasting life. If this is you, you can pray with me now, asking forgiveness of your sins, trusting in Christ, and accepting Him into your heart today, making Him your Savior and Lord. If your heart is open, if your ears have heard the word, faith come by hearing and hearing of the word, Romans 10:17. Pray with me today. Let it begin today. Heavenly Father, I come before you today with a deep understanding of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Today I confess my sins before you, Lord God. I ask for your forgiveness. I pray, God, that you will open my heart and send your Holy Spirit to live inside of me. As my sins are forgiven and my faith is placed in you, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come and live in me today. Help me to be obedient to the gospel that you died for and were buried and were raised to life on the third day. I ask you for that life, the resurrected life, to be in me today. And I thank you for such a precious gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Thank you. He is risen indeed. Amen. May the power of the risen Lord be working in your life. Sister Yuki's going to close us with a song. Hold your seat.